Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you that we're free to come and hear your word read this morning. And we pray that as we reflect again on this well-known story, that the truth that is so profound that it beggars belief, that might again start to cause us to wonder and to praise you and to speak of Jesus, first of all inside us, and then through us to other people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's nice to be back from the preaching tour that I went on last Sunday and to hear good reports of how you looked after Alan while he was here. For those of you here, Alan de Monde, the Senior Minister of New Hope. And I was down at one church. It's a good experience to go to a different church and see how they do things. Alan said he felt very at home here, and very welcomed. Has it been a busy period for you this past week? Or is that a silly question to ask? Yes, it's a silly question, isn't it? I am very busy at the moment. What with all the normal end of year things, I thought, well, let's add a little thing into the mix. Let's move house. So we did that during the week, and I have a greater appreciation for what Mary and Joseph must have put up with. The only thing is Mary and Joseph didn't have 500 boxes to carry along with, you know, on the side with the donkey. And just as Don announced earlier in the service, to sort of top it all off, we're moving the church office tomorrow, or starting at 8 a.m. And so when I thought about this during the week, I thought by the end of tomorrow night, not a single book that I own will be on the same shelf. And I'm at risk of losing quite a number of them for a while. Well, I don't want to spend all of Advent feeling busy or stressed or excited or jolly or any of those things. Although we feel many of those at different times during this season. And I come to today's reading myself needing some encouragement from God. And I look at today's reading and I find that this period of Advent is not so much a period to be busy and stressed out about things, but it's actually a period to be worshipping. It's a period to worship God. And I'd like to look at verses 13 onwards with you. So if you wouldn't mind opening your Bibles at page 725, I want to highlight four reactions to what happens in this story. And you might find you just want to stop and reflect and close your eyes at any time and just take it a bit slower today. We have the announcement that the baby has been born in the first seven verses, and the angel of the Lord announces this birth to the frightened shepherds. Then the angel is joined at verse 13 by a great host of other angels who are praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, etc. Now just try and picture that, would you? Picture yourself in your work environment or your normal day-to-day environment, which is what the shepherds were in, and this angelic host, great multitude, appears singing glory to God in the highest. We, at our level, at a human level, are privileged to hear the praise of heaven for the birth of Jesus. Heaven is telling the shepherds and us that this baby is worthy of our praise. They're indicating that there is a person of immense importance who has just been born, worthy of our worship. Earlier this year, I was at State Parliament House for a lunch, and during the lunch, the Premier was brought in. It was very obvious that he was the most important person in the room. Everyone waited to be greeted by him. Everyone showed due deference when he came over to greet us, etc. It's very clear at a human level when there is someone important in our vicinity, around us. You're given certain cues, aren't you? If you've met anyone important, there are usually other people around. If you're not aware that this is an important person, they certainly let you know just by their behaviour. The Premier is an important man, and while he's in office, he will be given some of the deference that is due that office. When Jesus is born, he doesn't appear important and powerful. But the angels tell us otherwise. They warn us not to mistake what's going on, not to think that because this birth is humble, to then go and say it's unimportant. That would be a mistake. This angelic praise is giving us a cue, a clue, that here is in fact someone of immense importance. And if the angels are praising God in heaven, should our hearts not be moved to praise God as well? Jesus' birth means glory to God in the highest, and it also means peace to us on earth on whom God's favour rests. The angel tells us in slightly cryptic language there that it's possible for God's favour to rest on human beings. And I think this is hinting towards the reconciling work that Jesus will do between God and humans. That will be an experience of God's favour resting on people. All the more reason to give glory to God in the highest, in the heavens. Because here in this baby is the offer of peace, shalom, between humans and God. Never before has that been offered. And the angels want to, I presume, sing. It doesn't quite tell us exactly. The angels want to praise God for that. The restoration of relationship between heaven and earth. So there's the first reaction, the heavenly praise in verses 13 and 14. Second reaction in verses 15 to 18 comes with the shepherds. They do exactly what the angel of the Lord tells them. They go and look for the sign, which would be a baby wrapped in cloths. What they find is exactly what the angel had promised. Immediately, they believe. So they hurried off, verse 16. Verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word. There is an immediate and simple reaction. They start to believe, and then they spread the word about what they've heard and what they've seen. They've seen the baby. They've heard the angels telling them this baby is worthy of praise. The baby is exactly where the angel said he would be. I imagine they're very practical people, these shepherds, and they can see the proof. So here is a reminder in the shepherd's reaction about spreading the news in the public realm. Here's a reminder that praise and worship lead to evangelism. That private faith spreads out into public witness at a personal level and at a church level, a corporate level. The shepherds, first of all, must find whether or not this is true. So they go seeking to Bethlehem. Let's go and find out if it's true. When they find it's true, something happens inside them and they are moved out into the public to tell people about what they have seen and heard. It's not very complicated. The shepherds simply told people about Jesus. Now, we have the Bible that tells us. We have our personal experience of God, which confirms to us what the Bible is saying is true, and each of you will have your own story of faith, otherwise you probably wouldn't be sitting here this morning. And so your private relationship with God is the starting point. But the shepherds suggest also that from what you've seen and what you've heard and what you've experienced about the Lord Jesus, from that you are encouraged to spread the word, to tell others. Interestingly, the response of the people in verse 18 is amazement, not faith. Maybe this news just simply caused a stir. A little town of Bethlehem, news spreads fast. Something interesting's happened here tonight. You know, amazement. Not necessarily a whole lot of people becoming believers in Jesus. But the point is that the shepherds have been changed by their meeting with Jesus. The seed of faith has fallen in good soil with the shepherds. Simple, good-hearted men who've seen the Lord. And they've gone out and told others. So it's an encouragement to us to keep being public about our faith in Jesus, and also to keep our own personal relationship with Jesus strong and healthy. That's the second response. The first response was the heavenly praise of the angels. The second response is the evangelistic work of the shepherds, the first evangelists. Third response is Mary, verse 19, Mary's reflection. As a young mother, Mary is no doubt full of emotion at the birth of her child, her son. And this emotion would only have been heightened by what she's heard from angels and shepherds. I wonder how many other mums here have had any angels of the Lord coming and telling you special things about your intended beloved children. No angels of the Lord? No? So you know, all of you mothers, you know what the emotions are like when you're coming towards birth, but imagine having an angel or two coming and telling you things, and then you've got these grubby shepherds bursting in, and you haven't even got past day four yet, and you know, they've told you that the angelic hosts are singing out in the countryside. Mary, no doubt, would be, I mean, she'd be mixed, wouldn't she? She'd be thankful for the safe delivery, but then there's all this other stuff going on around her, and she'd be just wondering. And so you reread at verse 19, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. So she treasures them, and I think there's a contrast there in Mary's personal treasuring with the public amazement. There's a deep sense in verse 19 of someone who is reflecting and contemplating and maybe not fully understanding, but mulling over the birth of this son. And doing that quietly and in private, inside her. Not necessarily sharing that even with Joseph. I was talking to our Wednesday congregation recently about this passage and about the incarnation, and explaining as much as I could how much I understood or how little I understood about the incarnation, and saying it's very difficult with our finite minds, our limited minds, to understand what it means for God to become human. I still haven't quite got that. I don't know if any of you have. And one of the members of the Wednesday congregation said quite helpfully, instead of trying to understand it, underline the word understand, why not just be a bit more like Mary and just treasure it and ponder it deeply in our hearts? I thought that was a very helpful insight, don't you? I have to consciously do that every Advent. I have to stop myself just rushing through Advent and doing the next service and the next talk, etc., etc., and consciously ponder, consciously take time to do what Mary's doing. I actually have to tell myself, stop and think, reflect. That's what one of our purposes of gathering here this morning is, I hope. I mean, each Advent at church is very full. Just this past little period, we've been on mission. We're in the shopping centre and the high school, and we did some things in-house here, dinner for young adults. Tonight we're doing Come Celebrate. So we're spreading the word, and that's all really good. Every week there are activities around the church where people are spreading the word. That's That's what we're on about. But we also need to recharge our own batteries, don't we? We need for ourselves just some time to ponder and treasure and connect with God deeply, not just rush. And each of you will need to do that in your own ways. That's the third reaction, the reflection of Mary. The final reaction in verse 20 is the praise and worship of the shepherds. The shepherds return home having seen the sign the angel promised. The baby was where they were told he would be. They return with their faith confirmed and deepened. They are full of joy as they praise God. Now they are able to do what they'd heard the angels doing earlier. They are able to glorify God. They are able to thank him for the birth of Jesus. The shepherds return, verse 20, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Very important in Luke that he's giving people evidence for belief in Jesus. That's how Luke's gospel starts. He's writing to someone called Theophilus so that Theophilus may know the certainty of the things that he's been taught about Jesus. So throughout Luke, we get these little examples where people see and the evidence is there. And the shepherds are one of those groups of people who've seen what has been talked about and they are able to glorify God. And that's meant for us, a direction for us to come and see the Lord again and to go away and give glory to God. Human praise now joins with angel praise. Heaven and earth agree. God is to be praised. In the town of David, a Saviour is born. He is Christ the Lord. Let the heaven and earth praise his holy name. Let's pause. You might like, if you haven't yet closed your eyes, just to do this for a moment. If you answered yes at the start of the sermon, is your life busy at the moment, then you need a moment when you're not busy. Here is a moment for today. Please enjoy it. Just think back over this reading and reflect on the tapestry of responses that we've had. We've had angelic praise of God. We've had seeking faith of shepherds. We've had spreading the good news. We've had the amazement of the public. We've had quiet reflection of a mother. And we've had wholehearted praise of God by some converted shepherds. It is the season to worship God for sending Jesus. Let's just take a moment of quietness to reflect.